Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We have come, as most of you know, in our study of 1 John chapter 2. To the first of several sections that deal with the subject of Christian love, a vitally important subject, the strategic role that love plays in the Christian's life. And this is the first section that deals with that, and we have worked through a good part of the section. It is verses 7 through 11, and we found an old commandment considered in verse 7, an old commandment I write unto you, which is not new, it's old, you've heard it from the beginning, and it turns out to be the commandment to love your neighbor as yourself, found in Leviticus 19:18. But then we have a new commandment explained in verse 8, where we read, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. And the last part of verse 8 is clearly a reference to Jesus Christ and his coming to earth, and his incoming, banishing the darkness of the pre-Christian era, and ushering in the greater light of the New Covenant era. And so the darkness is passing away, and the true light is already shining, because Christ has come. And that's what makes the old commandment a new commandment. In one sense, it's old. It's been around for hundreds of years. In another sense, it's new because there is new energy, new application, new intensity, new urgency, a new standard, a new higher standard of understanding and practicing this commandment. But from that, we move on in verses 9, 10, and 11 to the command to love examined carefully. And it starts with an exposure in verse 9, which is the one we looked at yesterday, where it says, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. Another one of these tests of true conversion. On the one hand, a profession of faith, he who says he is in the light. On the other hand, a lifestyle that betrays his profession. He hates his brother. There are Christians, one or more, that he has this seething animosity toward that just he will not let go of. That is incompatible with the new birth. That is incompatible with being in the light. You say you are in the light, but you hate your brother. Here's the truth. Here's the reality. It's not what you say. It is what you manifest by your life. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. We get a lot of these kinds of statements in John's epistle. Here we are dealing with the subject of love from the apostle of love, but such blunt, straightforward language that is difficult for modern Christians to identify with and to accept sometimes. But we'd better get used to it. We'd better be willing to accept it. This is the word of the living God. We have no choice but to accept it and to embrace it and to apply it and to practice it and to be honest with it in regard to ourselves and to others. And if anybody, you or someone else, says he's in the light but he hates his brother, The truth is, he is in darkness until now. Let's be more clear. Let's be more straightforward, because we're not helping people when we don't do that. We think it's impolite, so you want to politely reinforce a person's profession of faith until they die and go to hell. Is that love? I think not. Some people think it is. That's the loving way to deal with them. Don't you dare confront them. Don't you dare hurt their feelings. Don't you dare say anything that would contradict them. If they say they're a Christian, then just accept that at face value. Not the Apostle John, not the Apostle of Love. If you say you walk in darkness and hate your brother, the truth is not in you. You are actually, or what did I say? If you say you walk in light and hate your brother, you are actually walking in darkness. Well, we need to stop and identify today's broadcast as that belonging to Tuesday, March 20. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for helping us. But now we come to a validation in verse 10. We saw an exposure in verse 9, and now a validation in verse 10. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. This obviously is the opposite of 9. Here is transformed behavior. He starts with the behavior first in this case. He who loves his brother in the way that Christ loved us, in the way that Christians are taught to love by Christ, in the way that only Christians are able to do, because we can only do this as enabled by the Holy Spirit of God. He who loves his brother. What does that indicate? He's a Christian. You can't love others like Christ loved you unless you have been born into the family of God. And so he who loves his brother, we are told, abides in the light, dwells in the light, lives in the light, makes his home in the light. This is evidence of a new creation in Christ Jesus. This is evidence of a new position out of darkness into light. He's living in the light. He's in a new realm altogether. And then this validation is concluded with an encouraging declaration. There is no cause for stumbling in him. Now that's a new thought. Back to verse 9, he who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. Verse 10, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. Stumbling. Skandalon is the Greek word, or skandalou, depending on the form. Scandal. You hear the word scandal there. There is no stumbling in him. There is no scandal in his life, or no scandal that's going to develop in his life. It's a word that is used 15 times in the New Testament, and it has the idea of a trap, a snare, something that causes one to stumble or fall. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. There is no cause for a trap, a snare, something that will cause him to stumble or fall. And obviously this means nothing that can cause him to fall fatally, nothing that can cause him to fall permanently. It's similar to what Jesus said when he said, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them and they follow me, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no one can pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." What is Jesus saying? His sheep can't fall, can't fatally fall, can't fall out of his grip, can't fall out of his hand, can't fall out of his side, can't fall out of their position of abiding in him. That is impossible. It's a wonderful encouragement, a wonderful declaration of the security of the believer. His position in Christ is a secure position. It's not going to change. His renewed heart protects him from all dangers that could send him into destruction. There is no possibility of that for this one because he's a true believer. He abides in the light, as evidenced by his love for the brethren. And therefore, he has the assurance that he will fully and finally arrive safely at home in heaven at the end of life. Now, when it says there's no stumbling in him, it doesn't mean that he never trips and stumbles along the narrow way. It certainly doesn't indicate that he is sinless. And that's what I would mean by tripping and stumbling is to sin. And it's not telling us that he will never trip or stumble in that way, but it's saying there's nothing that's going to cause him to stumble fatally, to fall out of his saving position in Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? More secure is no one ever than the loved ones of the Savior, wrote the hymn writer, and I love that hymn, and probably some of you know it and love it as well. This doctrine of eternal security is a precious, precious doctrine. It is misunderstood by some, and because of the misunderstanding and misapplication of it, then it causes others to reject it altogether, because some people profess to be saved who aren't, and they aren't living like a Christian, and their profession is a false one, and their assurance is not biblically based assurance, and they're claiming that because they once made a profession of faith, they will always be saved, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches once saved, always saved. Not once having made a profession of faith, always saved. Not once having walked down an aisle, always saved. Not once having raised a hand for prayer, an evangelistic crusade, always saved. Not once having asked Jesus into your heart, always saved. That's not what the Bible tells us. But once saved, truly regenerate, truly born again, truly placed in the Savior's side, truly evidencing the change of heart and life that only the Spirit of God can produce, in this case, he who loves his brother, that one abides in the light. He's living in the light of God's truth, God's word, God's righteousness. He's evidencing his position as a child of God. And when that is true, it is impossible for that one to ever fall away. You say, but I know somebody who was a Christian and then he lost it. He fell away. He doesn't even profess to be a Christian anymore. He doesn't even go to church anymore. So that proves that it's possible to lose your salvation. No, all that proves is it's possible to make a false profession of faith. Many a person has done that. And when a person falls away like that, they're evidencing that they were never truly saved to start with. And if you could have examined that person's life more carefully, you probably would have seen the evidences of it sooner than you did. But many times we don't see those things. But here's the precious truth. For those who love the brethren and who abide in the light, there's no possibility of stumbling and falling away from Christ. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.